Blog Talk Radio.
The following program is a production of Turning Leaf Radio Network, Altoona, Pennsylvania.
Why do you have this one?
Welcome to a special edition of Prophet's Corner, Reformed Fellowship at Grace Community Church, Houston, Texas.
I got about 4 or 5 of them.
Yeah.
How many is in this room?
Mike, pray for this message tonight. I'm going to need some help from that.
Yeah, I want to lift up. I have an aunt and a cousin that's been saved and learned on this. They both of them lost the sight. You know, that's the attack of the enemy. I just want to lift that up in prayer and prayer for grief. And in addition to that, I just want to lift up some things. I'm going to say, man, I got a good thing.
Give us the courage to live with us.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Because of who you are. Little faith. says, I will get you to the other side. And your word says, if you believe in me, in Jesus Christ, if you confess him as Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and that you died for your sins, that you will go to heaven with the Heavenly Father forever. And I thank you for that word. I thank you, and I have faith in that. That if I just surrender my life to you and live according to your will, I will be there with your Father. Because you're the only way to him. I ask that you bless the food, bless the water, the coffee, the fried chicken that's already been blessed. That's good. Thank you. And I just ask that you nourish our bodies and give us the energy, like I said, to go out into this world and be the light, to be the salt, to lead people to you. Let us be that lamp. Let us be that reflection. Let us be the reflector of your light. So when people see us, the light that's in us, they say, what is that? They say, it's Jesus Christ. Allow us to be your children in this world, to please you, to glorify your head, to edify your church, to build the people, your nation. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Okay, brother, go ahead and help me show some coffee, some water, some chicken.
Favorite song, man. I told Ms. Rita at my funeral I want her to pray to play that. Ain't got nothing to do with country.
Thank you.
right. Hang on a second. Say it again.
Come on, can you hear me?
Yep.
All right. Now, I can hear myself talk,
man. What you turn down for? I enjoy hearing myself talk.
Y'all see, I got a computer in front of me, so I mean we got problems tonight, right? Every time I get a computer, we got problems. Hey, man, hallelujah. God's going to help me through it, though. Hey, yeah, that song by Andrew Willis, a man of God's own heart. You know, that's my prayer tonight, you know? King David, he was one of the richest kings in history, one of the richest. But God said he's a man after my own heart. And the reason why is because he knew how to repent. He knew how to say, hey, it's not me, it's about God, amen? So when I was growing up in the church, you know, we had what they used to call Sunday school. They don't have that anymore. You know, most churches don't have Sunday school anymore. But we used to have a thing called Sunday school, where all the little kids go to class and teach about these big giants like David and Goliath. Teach about Abraham. Teach about Noah. Teach about Jonah. All these kid stories. I like to take these kid stories, and because most people think these stories are just for kids. Well, they have some true meanings, you know. I like to take these kid stories and put them on our level. Okay, because these guys, they were not perfect people, but they were just willing to be used by God. Amen? So tonight I'm going to go to Genesis 8 and 1. You know, I've been going around, you know, some guys at Harvard and say, hey, remember, they asked me, what you going to be teaching on? What teaching on? But then. They said, but then what? I said, but then. Okay, but tonight we're going to take our text out of Genesis 8:1. We only going to read one scripture because I can't get past the one scripture. You know, I mean, there's a whole lot in this one scripture. You know, so it says, then God remembered Noah. Now sometimes they say, but then God, something says, then God, something, and then God. Okay, it just depends. But you know, but then God remembered Noah. And every living thing and all the animals that were with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters subsided. Okay? This text is most interesting because, and really, if you look at it, it's hilarious because God has a sense of humor, you know? And, that God inserts a particular verbiage where he does. Okay, after all that Noah went through to get to where he's at, right? And then God says, and then the word says, and then God remembered Noah. Did God forget about Noah? Huh? Well, why would he put in it, and then God remembered Noah? Okay? That's what I can't get past. You know, you would think in our society, did I remember Leonard was coming to Bible said, well, I forgot he was coming, then I remembered he was coming. But that's not what this means here. Okay? Mike, I can't get no help up in here. Did everybody die on me here? What's going on? I mean, if you like something you hear, you know, say so. Speak up. Right? Amen. Preacher brother, something just don't sit there looking like a stump on a log. You know, come on. Because, you know, you got to pay attention to what I said, because sometimes if I get real excited, I might start making up stuff that's not even in the word. And you got to say, hey, that's not even there. But you ain't even know it until you listen to me, right? And you say, oh, no, brother, that's a lie. That ain't in the Bible. Then I know you're listening to me.
You know, but if you just sit there, I don't know that you listen to me, amen? Come on now. All right. You going to act like you never stayed awake at night? Never been worried about something in your life? And you wake up the next morning and say, where is God? And why is he not arriving in my situation? Where is God and why is he not coming in and inserting himself in my situation? Sometimes we get a little anxious about why God is not in our situation, right? I do sometimes. Sometimes I'm gonna have to be honest with you. You know, God don't call a man to teach or preach unless he calls him to teach or preach out of conviction. Okay? I can't tell you about things unless I'm going through those things or I have been through those things. Amen? Because that's not my, you know, I'm going to tell you it's no secret. I've been divorced 3 times, married for the 4th. Okay? But if I never got divorced the first time, I couldn't tell you about getting divorced. If I'd never been a guy who drank too much alcohol, I couldn't tell you how to stop. If I'd never been a man that never smoked a cigarette, I couldn't tell you how to stop. See, I've done that. You know, I can't tell you how to stop doing drugs, because I've never done that. But sometimes I used to wake up at night and say, God, what am I doing wrong? Is there something I'm doing wrong? Because I need you to help me. And you're silent. I don't hear from you. Sometimes it makes you question your faith, right? Come on now.
Amen.
I mean, God, am I faithful enough to you? Do I have enough faith to carry on? You know, but sometimes God is silent, right? Why is that? All right. That's a good answer. Okay. It's interesting about storms. You know, storms are not always, you know, the worst part of storms is not always the storm itself, right? Everybody knows that the aftermath sometimes is worse than the storm itself, right? I mean, if you don't believe that, that's people who survived Katrina in New Orleans. You know, the storm came through. The after the storm is where they had problems in New Orleans. Okay? You know, because the levees broke. You know, this and that happened after the storm, you know, because of flooding and stuff, right? Okay. When you weather a storm and you're asking God, hey, when you got that storm, it's like, hey, God, forgive me for this. You can tell everything you've done wrong with all your life 3 or 4 times, right? And then you start asking God to forgive you of things you have done, and it's not that you, so you want to make sure you're clean and ready to go to heaven, amen? So when you're in the storm, you know, it's an emergency situation, right? Okay, but the problem is when you get out of the storm, right, then you say, oh, man, I made it out of the storm, right? I'm glad. I don't know if you can't do that. That's when you tell me, you jump on me and say, hey, that's the worst part of that storm. When you get through it, you get the calm, you say, oh, Lord, I'm good, I'm done. I let it go. No, that's when the devil starts fucking you. That's when the devil starts breaking you down. That's when the devil starts getting on your back. He says, hey, I'm not done with you. You got to prepare for the next storm. Okay? There's a pastor in the north side of town. I grew up with, right? And he's a man of faith. He's got a lot of faith. See, storms will cause you to do things, to think things that nothing else will. When I get to Houston, right, this friend of mine, Steve, he just finished building his $6 million church. Okay? Another friend of ours, after the storm was over with, he called his wife and said, hey, Steve's up there in that church. hold up in that church and got to. Does it have power in that church? No. He said, it must be hot in that church without no power. Said, yeah, but he won't come out because he prayed to God brought judgment on him because of this hurt. And he said, don't he know that 4 million other people in this town that went through this hurricane too? It ain't him. Sometimes the devil starts to make some things to him. That's not true. Okay? He made this pastor of a large congregation, $6 million building, think that God's bringing judgment down on him. So this pastor, this other friend of ours, known as Pastor Church, about the every story he did, when did he do it? Finally, he got to see come to the door. He said, dude, what you doing? He said, man, he goes, God brought judgment down on me. He said, I think, you know, he knew I had this $42,000 church payment to make money, so I did an offering today. God's going to take care of it. But he ain't bringing judgment on me. See, the devil makes us think things if we let it get into our head, right? You know, I was, I used to live on a lake in Austin, Texas, and, I tell you that. We had rain come through, pretty heavy rain, and it was okay. Well, for the next 3 days, that water kept coming up. One night, about the second night, it was wet. And this morning, when I woke up, the water was my bed. You know, my bed still had power, so this water was over the plugs. And electricity was gone. That's a scary thought. You know,
I got out of bed somehow.
But you know, that's been a very dangerous situation. You know, but see, I felt comfortable enough that second night to go to bed. Right? This morning I woke up with problems. Okay? And so throughout the day, the water kept rising. And we kept moving stuff out. We were floating stuff out of the house on the little buckets, you know, because the water kept coming up. Finally, the water was up to where it was over the top of the door. You know, that was the worst part of that storm. The worst part wasn't the rain. The worst part was the aftermath, the flood, when that lake came up. You know, so I've been in storms. You know, when I was 2 years old, I don't remember this tornado my brother does, but we was in a tornado when I was 2 years old. Pretty bad one. I don't remember it, but I do remember this tornado in 1972. I was 12 years old, and Lafayette almost tore up the whole town. You know, we had some apartments across the street from us, and the tornado hit them. Bounced over our house and demolished the house right behind us. It had not been with those apartments, our house might have been demolished. We didn't. Okay? God will take care of you if you're faithful. But God will also put thoughts in your head that make you think, I mean, not God, but the devil put thoughts in your head that make you think that you're not to be all right. Okay? God is faithful. All right? But the aftermath of that was they tore up the town. We didn't have electricity for several months. You know, the sewer was bad for a while. We had plenty of water. You know, that's the bad part of the story. You got to have resources in place once it happens to get what you need. Amen. God will take care of you. You just got to know that He's in charge. Amen. All right. That's where most of us are right now. All of the places, you know, a lot of us say, hey, of all the places, God has a storm right here where I need something in my life. I need something in my life, and God let the storm come. What is wrong? What changed the attitude? Because it ain't God. He's a, you know, you say, how can God let this happen to my body, my money, my family? God sent me here to see to tell you that you are not the only one going through a storm right now. You're not the only one. You're going through a storm right now. Raise your hand. See, I got mine up. Come on, man. I can't get no help here whatsoever. Come on, now. Find someone else going to hell and high water and say that, brothers, we're going through this together, and together we're going to survive this storm. That's what this man's group is about. We're going through things together, and we're going to survive this storm, and we're going to help everybody, each other in this room. That's what we're all about, is being here about ourselves, being here to get our own fix. We're here for each other. Okay? We're going to help you through some whatever you're going through. There's many of these rooms that can help each and every one of you go through whatever you're going through. And that's what we're about being about, coming in here and huddling up to ourselves and this and that. Are we going? How many people have you in this room? Okay. I'm telling you. Listen, I've been there to help you. This is outside of this room. We don't, you know, we come in here, but if you need help or support in this group, outside this room.
Amen.
If you don't have phone numbers, get the phone numbers. Amen.
Yeah.
That's not in my notes. I just put that in the commercial. Come on, I can't get no help in here. Come on. Come on. Storms will mess with your mind until you think you are the only one trying to do right. You are the only one trying to live right, and no one else is fighting hell but you. I'm going to tell you something. We all fight hell on a daily basis.
Yep.
Hell comes against us every day. If you're a child of God, hell will come against you. The gates of hell will be against you every day of your life. Because if you ain't, if it's the gates of hell ain't against you, better check you off. Better check you off. If something's wrong with you. Something wrong with your walk. If hell ain't, if you ain't being tempted every day and hell ain't coming up against you, you are doing something wrong. Amen? Then we come to this text with then God remembered Noah. Then God remembered Noah. Can't get no help up in here. Boy. I need some.
Amen.
Stop it, man. At this point in the text, it had rained for 40 days and 40 nights, and that is just a minor point of the story. In fact, at this point, he has been resting in the boat for months since it quit raining.
See, they don't understand that. They understand
that it rained for 40 days and 40 nights, and Noah got off the boat. No, he's been on the boat for months. Why? Because the water was so high. You know, that was the aftermath of the story here, you know? I'm talking to someone here who survived something that no one else can survive, but you still are here.
Come on.
Turn to someone and say, I am still here.
I am still here.
I almost lost my mind, but I'm still here. I lost my family, but I'm still here. I lost my car, my house, I'm still here. I lost some money, I went bankrupt, but I'm still here. Why am I here?
Come on.
But God remembered law.
Oh,
come on now. I'm feeling it tonight, brother. I'm telling you. Man. I made it through the storm, and you would expect after the storm, God would show up, and he would have something to say. You know, you think that when you make it through the storm, God shows up. You know what? Sometimes he don't show up. Sometimes he shows up. Satan sometimes shows up, right? Like, you know, you expect God to say, like, well done. Here comes your breakthrough.
That's what you expect, right?
But God's silent sometimes. Why? Why is God silent? All right. It's not over. You're right there. It's not over until it's over, right? But for months, there's nothing. Preceding the 40 days and 40 nights rain, we have 100 years of God being mad at everybody.
Wait a minute, did I say that? God being mad at everybody?
How many people think God can get mad?
Amen.
Yeah, God can get mad. He does all the time. Why? Disobedience. God does not like disobedience. Okay? Here are things about God that we imagine. Well, imagine if we do that. If we do wrong, we would say, "Well, I'm going through something right now." You know how people say, "Yeah, I'm going through something right now."
Yeah.
You know, they use that excuse. Okay, I'm going through something right now, and God will understand. How many people heard that?
I'm going through something right now. God understand that I'm doing crack. God understand that I'm there being an adulterer, cheating on my wife. God understand that I'm doing this. God don't understand.
They tell you God don't understand. The Christian community that you to tell you that you can live the way you want to, act the way you want to, and God will understand. And the fact is, God don't understand. That's a cold hard fact. God don't understand.
Why?
Hang on. And they also go as far as tell you, well, do whatever you want to do. God will understand. God wants you to be happy. So you can do whatever you want to do, and God will understand that. You can't do whatever you want to do. The word says you've got to do exactly what he says. You have to, you know, I have a teacher that I do on obedience. You have to be obedient to God. You got to do the things he tells you to do. If you think you can do anything you want to, and when you get into trouble, God will turn the situation around. I have tragic news for you. God won't turn anything around until you turn around and start being obedient to his word. You cannot do what you want to do and expect God's blessing. Ain't going to happen.
How many people tried that?
Has anyone ever said they were going to kill someone? I have. Oh, I know everyone in here is self-righteous and never said that, right? If you self-righteous and never said that, I'm going to tell you what you're talking to God. God said it. I'm sorry, too, but God said it. God has said, I'm going to kill everyone. I want you to build a boat because I'm going to drown all these suckers. And Noah said, okay, God said to build a boat. And he comes back in 20 years. He said, Noah, you got the boat built? Noah said, no. Why? You really going to kill everybody? God said, yeah. He said, God, you still mad after 20 years? God said, matter than ever. Build a boat. Come back in 50 years. Right? No, God, why not? God was not happy. He wanted that boat built, but he's ready to kill all these people. Why? And here, you know, most people think there's something wrong with me if I am upset for 15 years.
Can you imagine 50 years? Can you imagine 75 years?
You imagine 100 years, God say, mad. You know, the God of love shows up and you still ain't finished both. No one says, no, you still mad at God? we don't imagine a God that gets angry to me. Huh? Because our God is love. People in our generation do not know what love is.
Everybody
on you, everything, what? Sleep with everybody you can. Get a woman to put them in with you and live with you without being married. Oh, if people don't move further, you'll sleep with the same sex, marrying the same sex. That's what people think love is.
People think love
is what love is. What is love? Anybody think what love is? Huh? God is love that most of us have not experienced. It is a protective and defensive God that gets angry. How many people married? Yeah, God is a jealous God. What does jealous mean? He ain't gonna put up with people messing with his pride, amen.
Hey, I got a beautiful body. You were born through this. I'm a
Satan, and you're going to see the old law rise up against you. Why?
I'm going to tell you, so when you throw that back, is that gorgeous? What you say in my right face? Come on, man. I am not a devil's man, but one thing I do know is at the end of the night, guess who she's going home with?
Not you, sucker.
Me. We need to live our lives in a fashion, in a form that God knows that we love Him. We can prove to God that we love Him. Because someone who really loves, He's going to protect you. He's going to be defensive of people that come against you. Come on now.
When
you can't do it, then what? If you accuse the innocent, there's enough evidence to convict you. Would there be enough evidence to convict you? You know, I'm going to tell you, God is a jealous God. And He ain't going to let nobody mess with you. He's like, I ain't going to let nobody mess with my wife. I don't going to let nobody mess with my children. God ain't going to let nobody mess with me. Oh, Lord, I'm running out of time. I got to
go. All right. God, let me tell you something. I can't deviate from the Word of God. Because if I do, I'd be no better than anybody else. Amen? God doesn't bless what you want. And
you've heard me say that before. God don't bless what you want. God don't bless what you need. The only thing God blesses is what He orders. You hear what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
I ain't hear no... Hey, that's a good spot for an amen, man. God blesses what He orders. Finally, after sitting, after 40 days and 40 nights, and months sitting on the boat, then God remembers Noah. Have you been through the storm? And you've been sitting there in the aftermath for months. Then God remembers you. Okay? I'm here tonight to tell you that God has not forgotten you. That's not what that means. You and I know you have been through the storm, and I know it has lasted most of your life. You're like me. My storm has lasted most of my life. I'm still not out of it. I'm still going through it. Why is that? Presentation. But I must remind you that the implication of the word used in this text is not that God forgot, because God is the God of creation. He's the absolute amazing, He's the beginning and the end. And we're saying God is not guiding you. He's the Almighty One. He remembers and He knows. But just as before the 100 years started, He told God to know to fill His heart. Right? He put an X on God's divine calendar that such a day He can come out of that ark. He knew when the day Noah was going to come out. Noah didn't know. God knows the day we're going to come out of our storm and our aftermath. We don't know, do we? The implication of the word that we translate in English is that God put an excellent calendar before it rained for 40 days and before they sat on the boat for months. Before God showed up 100 years earlier and said, build a boat, God put an excellent calendar. And from the beginning, God said, I am going to come take Noah out of the boat. Not only has God not forgotten you, but He has a tape of God's divine
calendar that you are going to be delivered from the dilemma you're in now. God knows when you're going to be delivered from it. God knows, but there's a reason why you're not delivered right now. You may say, God, why am I? You may question. You may wonder, but I'm going to tell you. God remembers you. Okay? So look into your storm and declare, it is over for you. It is over for my family. It is over for your financial problems. This storm is over because God remembers you, not because he forgot him. He forgot you, but this is the day he's going to deliver Noah out of the water. This may be the day he's going to deliver you out of your dilemma. This may be the day he's going to deliver you. Amen? So when you are in the boat, you wonder, why can't I get out of here? Everybody else has been healed earlier. Everybody else has been delivered before me. God, I'm faithful. Why won't you deliver me from this disease? Lord, I'm faithful. Won't you deliver me from this high cholesterol? Lord, I'm faithful. Won't you deliver me from this high blood pressure? Why? Because the dilemma is not over. I can control it, but I'm not delivered from it. I can control it. See, all God's promises are conditional. God says, "No, I'm going to deliver you. I'm going to kill everybody else's world, but I'm going to deliver you and your family. Why? But you got to do this. You got to build a boat. You got to get on the boat. You got to go through the storm. You got to go through the aftermath. You got to sit on that boat for months. Why?" God's promises are conditional. Every one of them has a condition. I've said that before. The only reason why Noah was still in the boat was because the flood had not dissipated. Turn to the person beside you and say, "You aren't ready for me yet. You ain't ready for me yet." Amen? I'm coming to a close here. How many people give me 5 more minutes? Bring your hand and give me 5 minutes. Well, I'm
gonna
tell you. I'm telling you, I got another hour. I'm gonna get another hour. Come on. No. I'm just joking. I used to have pastors who used to do that. I'm like, what is he doing? All right. The only reason why you're still on the boat is God is still trying to get the world ready for the new you.
Right.
The world ain't ready for the new you. Still trying to get you ready for the world is ready for the new you. So he has to leave you on the boat till the world is ready for you. When you come off the boat, and you won't be the same as you were before. So God has to get the world ready for you. That's why it's not over for you yet. Sometimes when the drive goes in the wilderness, God says, "Hey, he puts you out in the wilderness. Why? So he can talk to you." A lot of times in the hustle bustle of the society, we don't hear God's word. Sometimes he puts us out in the wilderness and he can talk to you. Sometimes we're in a dry spot, dry place. He's been there. We've all been there. But we're out there, why? Because God is doing something in us. Not only is the world ready, not ready for the new us, we're not ready for the world. I don't know how many times. However, guys, listen to me. I'm not trying to point you out. I'm not trying to say it. I don't know how many times I've seen people leave the harbor, not ready for the world, and they turn into thought. I don't know how many times people walk out the door of the church, they're not ready, but they fall. Why? Because there's nobody there, there's no support there. If you have support, you can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. That's why I'm telling you, in this room, we have support for people that need help. All you got to do is give a phone call. Amen? Brother Mike, I'm sorry, we're over again. We're not going to have any time, but God's moving here. God is making you ready. He put you, the children of Israel, he put them out in the desert. Why? Because they wasn't ready to go into the promised land. Why was that? Because they were grumbling. They was complaining. They said, "Hey, I've been better off back in Egypt."
Why you're still in your wilderness? Why you're still in
your aftermath of your storm? Why you're not being? Because you have to be obedient to God. You have to do the things the way God tells you to. Okay? God says in His Word, obedience is better than sacrifice. Yeah, He loves sacrifice, but obedience is better than sacrifice. Amen? The dry place of wilderness. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you for this day.
Yes, sir.
We just thank you for your many blessings, Lord. Lord, we just ask you, Lord, to help us be obedient, Lord, so we can come out of our Lord, help us be obedient so we can come out of the wilderness, Lord. Help us be obedient, Lord, so we can get out of the storm, Lord, because this storm is messing with us. We want to be delivered, Lord. And we want you to deliver us, Lord. So we have these conditions of the promise. The promise that you will deliver us. We know that, Lord, but let us be the conditions, Father. We just thank you for this day. We just thank you for this word. And right now, I'm going to ask Michael up here. Howard, come up here. If you need prayer, if God has laid on your heart that something that you need to do, and you really need prayer, and you want to come out of this, just come up here and let us pray for you. Because God's speaking to somebody here. I know He is. God's word don't go out of voice. And don't be ashamed. Don't be shy. We're not here. We're not going to tell you business. Don't worry. If you need help, and you need prayer, come up here and let us pray for you. That's what we're here for. Lord, we just thank you for Marshall, Lord. Right now, Lord, we ask you, Lord, right now, Lord. We know where it's going, Lord. We don't know, Lord. But we know right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you can deliver him out of this storm. You can deliver him out of this dry place, Lord. And we know that, Lord, we're depending on you, Lord. We want to be obedient, Lord. Disobedient, Lord. We want you to deliver us, Lord. Whatever it might be, whatever we got to do, Lord. Whatever we got to do, Lord, just protect you right now. We ask you right now, Lord, to help us, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Lord. Amen.
Thank you,
Lord.
Thank you, my brother. Bless you, Father. To stretch your hand,
Mom. Father, we just love you, Lord. We just thank you, Lord. Right now, Lord. Lord, we know that it's obedience, Lord, that you want, Lord. We know, Lord, that we're in a storm. Lord, I don't know what this storm is, Lord, but you know what it is. That's all that matters. I don't know what happened, Lord. But whatever it is, Lord, you know, and you have the ability to deliver him out of this storm, Lord. Lord, correct his mind, correct his thinking, correct everything about him. Let him be in peace with you, Lord, that everything will work out in his life, Lord. Because we know that his heart is given for you, Lord, and that he needs, that he wants to get out of here and have a family, Lord, and raise a family, Lord, and have things going for that, Lord. But you know, right now, Lord, we have him here for a reason, Lord. And that reason is, well, we don't know. We ask you to help us, Lord.
Keep you taken care of.
Love you, Lord. In the name of the Lord, we have him here.
Thank you. Father,
we just thank you, Lord, for this. Lord, he's a servant of yours, Lord. Oh, Lord, see that man after your own heart, Lord. He has stumbled and he has failed, Lord, but we know where his heart is, Lord. And his heart it wants to be obedient to you, Lord. Lord, he wants to be right with you. He wants to be right with his family. Lord, I want you to touch his wife tonight, Lord. Because it's not all about him, Lord. It's about him and his family. Touch your wife, Lord. Touch her heart. Touch her mind. You know, we know that she's standing behind you right now, Lord. So we want you to ask you, Lord, continue to do that. Let her help him, Lord, come out of this storm. Let him come out of this dry place, this land. Don't let him falter any longer, Lord. We ask you, Lord, keep him strong. Touch his mind right now in the name of Jesus. Touch his mind. Touch his heart. Touch his soul, Lord. We ask you, Lord, right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you.
Perfect marriage, two servants, turn together, one God. It ain't about me, it ain't about her. It's about us turning together. And we'll serve as long as it takes. If you call me at 1 o'clock in the morning, now don't call me at 1 o'clock in the morning, let me bring you on this. No, if you call me 1 o'clock in the morning, I'll answer my phone. I'll talk to you. Because you know what? It ain't about me. It's what people are saying. You know, I love you guys. I'm here for you. Mike's here for you. He'll answer your phone. You know, Corey answers for anybody here in the room. I have the phone for you. And you're not going to take your business outside of your room. If you speak to me in front of your company, then it means company. Okay? And, you know, Ray was in my life for about 20 years. Right? See, I know more about him than this shit. You know what? I don't tell her for you because you're not. You feel like the brother, so that's fine because I can't talk. Thinking about it. Okay, I understand. That's what you got to have in mind. You got to have somebody that understands you, even in speaking, is too many business. I'm not trying to hold you up. I'm not trying to tell you that I'm right, you're wrong, I ain't none of that. I'm just giving you my heart. Okay? That's all I need is to see in my heart. Okay? I see you.
Yeah, I was on.
Okay.
Just to close my mind, I've never done this before, but I don't know what a really nice homework, but I want to. The brother was speaking on obedience. He was speaking on obedience and importance. And what goes along with obedience? Next week, I'll be going over Hebrews chapter. I want to understand this week that time. There's a read first, there's a lot of it. You can make the whole three months.
Seriously.
Thank you.